Good morning. Good to be with you again this morning. How many in here believe that numbers don't lie? Any of you guys accountants in here? Whenever you do counting, you believe numbers don't lie, right? I'm here to tell you, I believe they don't lie. And I'm going to talk to you. So I want to talk about some big numbers this morning. I'm going to talk about little numbers. But you're going to get the gist of this here in just a little bit, if you bear with me. I have mentioned this subject in some of my sermons in the past, but this morning, God has told me to hit it right on the head. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet. Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, for truly, you are the true God. And Lord, we just pray that has given us all, Lord, and given us that hope and that peace in our lives. And Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that the message would go out just the way that you'd have it to go out. And I want to praise you for that and give you the glory for it all. And amen. And amen. We hear the big numbers of the dead lost to natural disasters, have we not? We've heard of them. I mean, Hurricane Sandy, there was approximately 286 deaths. And I'm saying approximate. Okay, at the 2004 tsunami, there was what? 1,000 were missing. In the 2010 Haiti's earthquake, there was 316,000 deaths for that earthquake. If you lost it on television, any of these things, it probably shook you to the core to see what had happened to these people. And we're not talking just about adults, we're talking about children, the elderly, and everybody that was involved in these. There was a lot of massive life lost, right? What about the senseless acts of terrorism we hear about? What about 9/11, 2,977 deaths total on that? Or what about Sandy Hook grade school, where 26 deaths? Most of them are young children, right? What about Columbine High School, where there were 13 deaths? These are all big numbers with a lot of adults and a lot of children that were involved in this. I can just go on and on about it. And I didn't even mention the wars. And this is whenever Greg and all you guys started talking about this stuff this morning, I kind of turned to think and I said, you know what? 37 million people died. 37 million in the war. World War II, 60 million people died. Put these numbers, just think about these numbers. 3.8 million people died during the Vietnam War because of it. In the Civil War alone, which was all Americans, 620,000 people died. They were all Americans. And you know what? I want to tell you, those numbers are shocking. And Rob, but I want to give you one more number to chew on. And I want you to just think about this. Greatest Holocaust of all time. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The greatest Holocaust that has ever hit this country, 56 million people have died since 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court. Put that into perspective this morning. 56 million people have died. Listen, I'm not talking about the Holocaust of Germany, of course. That was another 6 million people died in that. But upon it, this nation has put 56 million innocent lives to death. 56 million. And I told you I was going to hit it on the head here a little bit. I want you to understand that when I'm talking about numbers here. Let's put it into perspective about the population of West Virginia. Let's go a little bit farther. The population of West Virginia is only 1.855 million. If you killed off the population of West Virginia, you'd have to do 5 to 26 times to get to the point where the abortions have been committed. Do you understand? Can you? Let's go a little bit farther. Listen to this. Kentucky, Oregon, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Iowa, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kansas, Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, West Virginia, Nebraska, Idaho, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Hawaii, Montana, Delaware, South Dakota, Alaska, North Dakota, Vermont, and Wyoming would all have their populations wiped out. Just imagine if every single inhabitant of I am just so. Whenever I started studying this, the Lord put it upon my heart to preach it. I want you. This is not something for everybody. I understand it, but it's something that He wanted me to preach here this morning. The whole populations of 25 states would have been wiped out. Put it into perspective. Just think about that. Could you imagine that? Every 20 seconds, statistically, there's an abortion committed in this country today. Every 20 seconds. Now, you know how long it would take? Less than a half hour. Less than a half hour. That's what it would take. Yell and scream about, it's choice. It's my body. That's what they would yell and scream. But I want to ask you something. What about the bodies of those innocent babies that were taken? That's not it. But I want you more numbers for you. While you work tomorrow, in a 24-hour period tomorrow, there'll be 4,000 while you're working tomorrow. That's another number for you. And get this. They will have no attorney. They will not be granted the basic rights that a prisoner of war is given. There are those who would treat a dog better than they treat these unborn. And you're saying, preacher, that's awful strong. Well, let me tell you about that. Basic anesthetics are used by every veterinarian in the world. If you take an animal there to be put down, what do? They give that animal something to put it down, they not? But yet, they will take forceps, they will take toxins, and they will inject it into these fetuses, as they want to call them, will be done tomorrow. And if you don't think abortion doesn't start us down a slippery slope of other things, you're wrong. Because it has. Because when you get to a point and a nation has no more concern for life than that, what do you think happens? I'll tell you this. You know, listen to this. A man by the name of Francis Schaffner said this right after Roe versus Wade was upheld by the Supreme Court, that abortion was the beginning of a slippery slope of degradation of human life that would eventually lead to euthanasia-assisted suicide. This was back in 1973. And there were people that passed today. Because when you have no more concern for human life than that, what makes you think that when you come to the end of your life, that they're going to have any more concern? You don't think we didn't start down a slippery slope? We started down her. Oh, yes, we did. America, you know what? That's why, because in God's eyes, life is sacred. I want you to understand that. God's eyes, life is very sacred. Here are some more numbers for you to prove it. And this is 27. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Listen to me, folks. God, which life was created by God, and praise God, He holds it sacred. Am I right? Colossians 1:16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible by the thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Praise God this morning. For a God that holds life, He holds it sacred. Amen? Faith is protected by Him, whether we want to believe or not. Job 10:12. Thou hast granted me life and favor. Thy visitation has preserved my spirit. And over in Psalms 91:11. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If He did not care for life any more than that, why do you suppose He does that? Why do you suppose He does? Life is waving thee upon the palms of... In Jeremiah 1:5, which is the scripture that I read this morning, and I've already read it to you there, when it talks about there, and it says, Behold, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee before thou camest forth out of the womb. I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to have it more abundantly. Life is sacred to him. And brothers and sisters, life should be sacred to us. It should be. How should you and I respond to the issue of abortion? Abortion, blind eye to it and go away from it. I'm going to tell you that. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:11, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards the slaughter. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses, so that you and your children may live. That's how you do it. You don't turn a blind eye to it. You don't say, well, you know, well, that's nothing I can do. Listen to me. There is something we can do, but I want to tell you how we need to do it. Number one, offer grace and forgiveness to those who need it. Yes, abortion is a sin, but it also is forgivable. Let's not forget that. The Jesus Christ, no matter what they've been, yes, we should speak out against moral concerns in our society. We must always do that. Let's never forget that. Whenever we're dealing with this issue, listen there. More number for you. Out of 260 abortive women that took a survey, 7% suffered depression. If grace was ever needed, it is now. Right then, grace is needed. Women who have had abortions have significant emotional, physical, and spiritual scars. Brothers and sisters, they know. Am I right? Now before we get too piously judgmental, and within ourselves say, well, preacher, they deserve everything that they're feeling and more. Before God's grace come upon you, you deserved everything you were getting and more. For me, I deserved everything I was getting more, because you know why? Without Him, we're going to get what we deserve, right? We're going to get it. But you know what? Praise God. I'm counting for all I care. Without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. We're nothing. 1 Corinthians 6:7-11. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do ye then not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, but and that your brother know ye not by the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were of you. You see what he's saying? Paul knew it, and I'm going to say it to you. Such as were you. Such as were you. But ye are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's Titus 2:11. For the grace of God to bring us salvation has appeared unto all men. As Christians, we need to watch our attitude when it comes to this also. Listen to me, can I tell you this? Satan is the enemy. Not the doctors. Amen. Not the pro-abortion crowd. Or abortion. They're not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. When will we learn that? When can we comprehend that? That's who our enemy is. This, because Satan is blinded to their eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It can be way too easy to be self-righteous and smug and condemning. Can it not? We can be that way. I have caught myself being that way and thinking, man, I tell you what, that is so wrong. And you know what? Then the Lord has talked to me, Jamie, and told me, you know what? You weren't no better without me in your life. There's none of us in here that were. Yes, grace is needed, folks. It can be way too easy. We're prone to get angry at the so-called big sins, are we not? Like abortion. And our venom can be spewed out. And you know what we do? We tear them down. We tear them down. Because you know what? We isolate those people who need to hear the gospel the most, because we think they're the enemy. And you know what? Satan's standing back and he's laughing at every instance that it happens. Because he knows, you know what? He knows what? You're not going to be able to reach them. Because you know what? You're too smug. You're too self-righteous. And Satan's standing back and just laughing. He's the enemy is. And I want to tell you one thing else too. Be consistently pro-life. Let me tell you this. We need to value all human life. The preborn, orphans, the widow, the homeless, those with AIDS, the hungry, the poor, the person in prison. We need to honor all life. If we're going to be pro-choice, we ought to be pro-choice all the way. Amen? Keep up the fight for the preborn. You know, I want you to do it. Society's view on abortion are changing. I want you to understand that. Society are making a difference. We are making a difference. Don't let the devil think that we're not. Keep speaking out. You know what? Remember, the primary call of a Christian is not to win an argument. Primary call is not to win an argument with somebody. My primary call is to make sure that I get the gospel out and that other people understand that they can become Christians also. That's my primary call. That's what it is. Oh yeah, if that venom comes out wrong, it's going to just burn bridges. That's all it's going to do. Let's remember that. Speak for those who cannot speak. Speak. I wrote this down. I want you to tell you what this guy put in there. It was a letter. You know what got me on this, by the way? And you can thank Patty for that. She had a testimony the other night about Washington Carver. And what it was, and she could probably explain it better to me, and I'm going to try to explain how she did the testimony. She said that the people, his name, he was sold, what it was. He was a baby, of course, and they had him in a gunny sack. And the people that bought him for a horse. And what they did, they threw the sack to the people that bought him, and he was in the sack. That's how much they thought of life. And that got me to thinking. You know, human beings can treat other human beings. Those who cannot speak. And I read this the other day. And this guy wrote this in a letter to us. How come if one kills a pregnant woman and her unborn child in the womb dies, it is a crime? Can anybody explain that to me, by the way? It's a crime. If a woman in the womb, it is lawful murder. No matter who takes a life, murder is murder. I think that it's very good for the church to speak whenever it can. Because you know what? I believe we have our voice. I believe we do. If we do it right, if we do it in the love of God, I believe we can speak out. We can write letters to the editor. Let's do it in love. Whenever somebody starts talking about abortion, let's tell them our viewpoint. But let's don't be so without love and without compassion. And folks, we're going to run into those people who have had abortions, have committed abortions. Let's don't look down the end of our noses. Let's don't do that. Let's don't look down the end of our noses and say and automatically condemn them to a devil's hell. And a lot of people do that because they've done it. Let's look down our noses in compassion. Let's look down it in love and say, listen, God loves you. And you know what? He's willing. All should be saved. Not just the ones going to church. Not just the God loves the unlovable. Does he not? He does. He loves the unlovable. And praise God this morning. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you what. You can raise your hand. You were unlovable at one time. You believe that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you were. Through his son Jesus Christ. He made the way. And I want to tell you this also. You know what? When we stand behind God and we do what God wants us to do, we are living the way God wants us to live. Amen? They come and get a song for me. I'm done.